today, we just thank you so much for welcoming us into this place and welcoming your presence into our lives. We just thank you so much for this season that reminds us that we must never forget the best stories of our lives, and that the greatest stories are about you making yourself known to us. And so, Father, today, as we talk through the Christmas story, as we celebrate the coming of Christ, Father, would you just be in our midst? Would you just fill us with beautiful memories, that you would just warm our hearts and our lives during this very special time? And God, we know this year is maybe a different Christmas than most of us have ever experienced. But Father, we know that you are the God whose story fits this year better than any other. And may we celebrate that today. Thank you for blessing our lives. Thank you for being a beautiful gift at Christmas. We pray that you would bless our time as we reflect on your story. And we ask this all through Jesus, and the church together said, amen. Go ahead and take a seat this morning. So glad that you are here. I do want to remind you that next Sunday, Sunday the 27th, we will be having an online-only service. And for those of you that have stream that, it's very easy to find on our website. It'll be on Facebook, on YouTube. We'll send out a reminder this next week so you won't forget to miss that. We just want to create some space for families. I know that many of you will be gathering. We're just trying to be sensitive to that. Also trying to be sensitive to our staff who have been here for the many long months, have had very few weeks off, and so this is just a great time for us to do that. But you're not going to want to miss what we have prepared for you on the 27th. If you thought the Christmas Eve-ish service was bad, this will be worse. So you're definitely going to want to tune in for that, which will be fantastic. But we're in week two. Just did a little short series this year called The Unlikely Christmas Story. And I think sometimes what we do when we remember Christmas is that we have certain traditions or things that we involve ourselves in, and sometimes we forget kind of where that all started and how that all started. I'm sure during Christmas, how many of you like to listen to Christmas music in the car, okay? Yeah, it's just all over, and especially if you watch some of the stuff we did Christmas Eve, you know, we all love Christmas music. How do you feel about Christmas music on like the 28th of December? It's just wrong, isn't it? It's like, I can't believe they're still playing Christmas music. It's just wrong, okay? And there's certain songs that we all love and that we sing along with and all those kinds of things. Do you have favorite songs? I'm sure you do. Ones that you love that have maybe you've heard from early age. Even in my house, in growing up in South Africa, we had certain CDs or tapes that we would listen to over and over again during this time. Do you like watching the Christmas movies, right? We've got the staple Christmas movies. What are the staple Christmas movies that you have to watch? Yeah, the National Lampoon Vacation and Home Alone. Can you believe Home Alone is 25 years old? And we watch it as a family, and our kids love it. And it's become kind of a timeless classic. We watch all these movies. We know almost every line. We know what's about to happen, but we still laugh, and we still enjoy it as much as we did the first time that we watched it. Or maybe we have favorite memories, Christmas time, traditions that we had. Growing up in South Africa when we were young, our big dinner was always on Christmas Eve, and my mom would usually make a roast lamb, which is just very traditional and lovely, and these roast potatoes, and we would sit outside. Remember that Christmas is in the summer in South Africa, so we'd be in shorts and t-shirts, and we'd sit around the night before, and we would have some appetizers, and we would enjoy some time. And then we had this formal lounge area that as kids, we weren't allowed in a whole lot, but that's where we had our Christmas. And you know the rule, it's like church. Wherever you sit on Christmas Eve is going to be where you sit on Christmas morning, right? That's how it works. And we would enjoy that, and we would have a lovely meal, and then we'd wait, and we used to get, you know, to open one gift on Christmas Eve, and then the rest of them were Christmas morning. If you're doing it any other way, I'm here to tell you you're wrong. You have to do it that way, okay? Can't open gifts on Christmas Eve. It's not right. Okay, God, Jesus would not want that. Okay, I'm just telling you. And then we'd have dessert, and then we would actually be able to play with toys that we had if they were outdoor toys or whatnot. Everybody go swimming, or we go to one of my aunt's or uncle's houses on Christmas Day after lunch, and we would enjoy some time there. And all the older people would sit around. I had 19 cousins growing up, and so it was just kind of a free-for-all. and then the older people would sit around with coffee and dessert, and they would tell old stories, and the kids would just love to be a part of that. Such beautiful memories. And when you remember your Christmases, most of us tend to remember only the good things. Isn't it amazing? The thing that you didn't get that you really wanted, we've forgotten. Or the toy that broke really quickly after you received it, we've forgotten. We tell ourselves only the good stories. We have this nostalgia about Christmas. And that's the place that we want to share memory and tradition with our children. We want our kids to have happy memories of Christmas the same way that we did. Now, I think sometimes when we celebrate the Christmas story, we don't always realize that the coming of Christ was not a center stage story. It was off to the side. Very few people actually knew that it was going on. And the people who knew that it was going on were people that God had to tell that it was going on. The wise men, it had to be a star. Hey, you need to go and pay attention. Or the shepherds, I need to tell you a message of good news. And I need you to celebrate that as well. But the Christmas story was not a center stage story. You didn't see it like you do in your neighborhoods now, where you drive around and there's lights and ornaments and decorations. You know, we only have two chapters, and those two chapters cannot capture all the things that were so stressful about the Christmas story. And think about it. Here's Mary, who's 15 years old, and she's pregnant, but she's not married, which is huge taboo in that time. And Joseph, he's about to marry this woman that he barely knows. It's probably an arranged marriage. He finds out she's pregnant. He knows he's not the father, and they're trying to travel together. This is not an easy and simple and sweet story. It is filled with nuance and stress and anxiety. They have to make this long pilgrimage. They barely know each other. They've each got these other plans, and God has to intervene and say, no, Joseph, this is a good thing. No, Mary, you just stay positive. You just be willing, and I will take care of the rest. But the Christmas story begins with great anxiety. That's not the story that we tell, is it? The story that we tell has a nice bow around it, and it's neat and clean and easy. One of the great prophetic passages about Christmas is found in Isaiah chapter 9. And I want you to hear the context of the verse that we know so well, because it's not maybe what you think it is. But in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 2, it says, the people walk in darkness. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fueling for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and a government, a new government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I read that this week, and I realized I've never read the context of the passage that we quote so much during this time. It's a battle passage. It's a passage of stress and anxiety that says, one day something is coming. This darkness that we have felt is going to end with light, and it's only going to happen because God wills it. Can we relate to that? The coming of Christ is the end of darkness. The coming of Christ is unlikely because God is going to use unlikely people in the story. That's why the story is told the way that it is. It's a triumph. It's something that people have waited for. So let's talk about the unlikeliness of Christmas, and let's talk about all the unlikely characters in this story. First of all, we start with Joseph, who is really the unsung hero of this story. He's the one that is willing to do what is right. It is duty above feelings for Joseph. The angel pulls him aside and says, listen, if you do this right, God is going to be able to use your story in mighty ways. We're not told a lot about Joseph. We're not even really told that much about Mary. They're both sort of the background characters so that God himself can take center stage. But Joseph represents who God is. God is the one who is willing to stand off to the side so that me and you, infused with his presence, can take center stage. Mary, the willing vessel. You know, God uses her ordinariness. She's probably about 14 or 15 years old. And God places a huge burden on her shoulders, and it says he chooses her because she is good, not because she is significant. Because she is ordinary, and she is living out God's story in her everyday life in simplicity. God says, that's the person that I want to use. It wasn't the queen of the time. It wasn't, you know, the prime minister's daughter or the president's niece. It was this girl that you would never know. She hid her life in plain sight, as we would say. And God uses her. Or what about the innkeeper? I don't know what your experience is with hotels, but they don't generally give away things for free. They charge you for everything: parking, bottled water, those snacks in the closet there. But here's an innkeeper acting against his better judgment, what he's always been. He's the generous Scrooge in the story, to blend some metaphors today. He's the one that says, I'm going to help these helpless people because I have pity on them. He steps into the story. Obviously, if you think about King Herod, he's the Grinch in the story. He'd have to be, wouldn't he? He's the one trying to stop everything from taking place. And yet God finds a way. Here's maybe something you had never thought about, and it might impact the way that we think about other things, but Jesus is welcomed as an immigrant. The Gospel of John chapter 1, talks about the coming of God into the world in a slightly different way. And there's a great part in there that says, God gave Jesus to his own people, but his own people didn't accept him. Do you know that Jesus is a regift? Let's be honest, we all do this. Oh, that's lovely. What am I going to do with this? I'm going to wait until I have a friend who has a birthday that I don't like very much. And I'm going to put that in a bag and say, happy birthday. But Jesus was regifted. He was regifted to the Gentiles after the Jews didn't receive it. He was given, God gave him to his own people, and his own people said, we don't like him. What they really are saying is that Jesus was the gift that wasn't enough. They looked at God and God said, I'm giving you my very best. And they said, no thanks. We're not interested in this gift. We would like something different. And the whole reason why the Christmas story comes to fruition, why we tell it today, is because the unlikely becomes likely because people allow themselves to be vessels of the gift. They allow themselves to be used by God in God's story in mighty and powerful ways. And when they do that, it turns the tide of every single thing in the world. Our lives are different because people made themselves available. People stopped looking at their credentials and saying, well, I'm the right person to do this, and God used unlikely people to change the world. I kind of love that part of the story because it means it's accessible. It means that if he can use broken or simple people, then maybe, just maybe, he could use me. And he can use you. But God needs something from you in order to do that. He needs us to be unlikely this Christmas. He needs us to be willing to step out of our comfort zones and become a part of what is called the unlikely Christmas story, because that story is still being told today. That story is still being told now. The coming of Christ wasn't just something that happened. It's something that is happening. It's something that when we open up our lives a little bit and allow God in, he will create Christmas. Christmas isn't a holiday that we celebrate in the past. It's one that we're actively a part of now. What does it take for us to be unlikely? I don't really know what that means to you. Maybe it's a little patience in the long lines at the stores. Maybe when people in your home or among your family are not acting the way that they should, maybe it's offering more grace this time of year, being generous to the people around you, just allowing God to use us. Maybe it's even asking God, God, I want to be part of the 2020 Christmas story. How can I do that? God will always put people on stage. He will let you fill a role if you're open to it. I think maybe that's the greatest thing about the Christmas story, is that people made themselves available to God. And when people make themselves available to God, God changes the world. Why do we think that 2,000 years of distance would be any different? Because every Christmas, every day, every week, God says, who are going to be the actors in my story today? Who are going to take up the reins and allow me to be represented through them? I need unlikely people. And that's why I'm choosing you. That's why I'm choosing all of you. Because you're unlikely. You can't do it on your own. But me, I can become Emmanuel if you're available. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the world needs God with us. Take a place. Take a number. Step on stage. Let God use you this Christmas. Father, today, thank you so much just for the beauty and the simplicity of this story. I just pray today that as we've heard, as we've maybe reflected a little bit, God, we just pray that you would take this beautiful story and you would just remind us that it is all about you making yourself known through us. And we thank you for allowing us to be a part of the Christmas story. We just pray today that as we continue in worship, God, as we enjoy this time of contentment and joy and family and togetherness, that you would be in our midst and we would never forget that this story is all about you. Father, thank you for bringing us to the end of a tough year. May we not run from the lessons that you're trying to teach us. May we not just try to dismiss the pain that we have experienced. May we understand that it is only through pain that we understand joy. Father, would you make joy available to us today? Would you overwhelm it in our lives? And may we share it with the world that needs Jesus. Thank you for meeting us here today. And we pray this all in